Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. If you had 24 hours left to live, what words would you want your family and friends to hear? It's a sobering question, isn't it? In our reading for today, we have Joshua, who is at the end of his life. He's 110 years old, and he doesn't have much longer to live, and he gives some powerful words to the leadership of the people of Israel before he goes on to be with the Lord. But what would you say if you had 24 hours? I'd like to look at the reading from Joshua, which you heard this morning, and discuss this reading. So Joshua is 110 years old. He's near the end of his life. And if you recall, he was assistant to Moses until the time that it was Moses' time to go. And then Joshua led the way into the promised land. Joshua had been there since the time of Egypt, and he made his way through with the people of Israel. And he continued to be faithful to his God, and he served. And then now it was his time to lead, and now, at 110 years old, it was time for him to die. You remember, he was one of the spies that went in beforehand into the land of Canaan. The other spies were all concerned about how big everybody was, and they were discouraging the people to turn back. And Joshua and Caleb were the two that said, "Nope, we can do this. We can make our way into the promised land." Joshua has been faithful to his Lord for his entire life. And now the time has come for him to die, and he has some words for the people. Joshua chapter 24, verse 1 tells us that he gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and summoned the elders, the heads, the judges, and the officers of Israel, and they presented themselves before God. They met at the place of Shechem, which is actually a significant place because it was not far from the place where God promised Abraham that Abraham would have this land, that would be Abraham's land. So this was where they were gathered at that moment. Also, Jacob, after he came back from serving his uncle Laban, when he came back into the land, he settled in the region of Shechem. And now Joshua is there at Shechem giving these words to the people. And what he does, first of all, is he relates to them the blessings that the Lord has given to them over time. He points out God's faithfulness to the people. And in this next section, he's acting as a prophet. So he's speaking the word of the Lord to the people. And notice how God speaks through Joshua. And you'll hear over and over again, "This is what I have done. I have done this for you. I have done this," 18 different times. So this is what Joshua said to all the people. "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, long ago your fathers lived beyond the Euphrates, Terah, the father of Abraham and of Nahor, and they served other gods. Then I took your father Abraham from beyond the river and led him through all the land of Canaan and made his offspring many. I gave him Isaac, and to Isaac I gave Jacob and Esau, and I gave Esau the hill country of Seir to possess. But Jacob and his children went down to Egypt. And I sent Moses and Aaron, and I plagued Egypt with what I did in the midst of it, and afterwards I brought you out. Then I brought your fathers out of Egypt, and you came to the sea, and the Egyptians pursued your fathers with chariots and horsemen to the Red Sea. And when they cried to the Lord, he put darkness between you and the Egyptians and made the sea come upon them and cover them, and your eyes saw what I did in Egypt, and you lived in the wilderness a long time. Then I brought you to the land of the Amorites who lived on the other side of the Jordan. They fought with you, and I gave them into your hand, and you took possession of the land, and I destroyed them before you. Then Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, arose and fought against Israel, and he sent and invited Balaam, the son of Beor, to curse you. But I would not listen to Balaam. Indeed, he blessed you. So I delivered you out of his hand, and you went over the Jordan and came to Jericho, and the leaders of Jericho fought against you, and also the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, and I gave them into your hand. And I sent the hornet before you, which drove them out before you, the two kings of the Amorites. It was not by your sword or by your bow. I gave you a land on which you had not labored, and cities you had not built, and you dwell in them. You eat the fruit of the vineyards and olive orchards that you did not plant." Wow. And imagine, I could just see Joshua as he's speaking these words, the word of the Lord, thinking back to those different times and different places that he witnessed the mighty awesomeness of God who delivered his people from all these different things and continued to be faithful to them despite their lack of faith. And so before he dies, he relates to the people the blessings of his almighty and faithful God. And what about for us? We don't know how long we have on this planet. It could be a short time, it could be a longer time. But I think what an amazing opportunity that we have to relate what God has continually done for us in our life. If you were to speak to your friends and your family, you can say, I have a God who has sent his son Jesus for me, who has died for me and risen for me and still lives. I have a God who has called me by name. I am baptized into the name of this God. I am his child, and he has been faithful to me through the ups and downs of life. He is the God who is my shepherd, who goes before me, even in the valley of the shadow of death. This is my God, and this is what he has done. And as we go through life, we have opportunities to relate the ways in which God has been faithful. Those of us that have gone through life know that over time there will be difficulties, there will be struggles, but the Lord remains faithful. Those of you that have gone through cancer treatments, who have been there at the hospital receiving these treatments, have the opportunity to say, my God has been faithful to me, even when I felt weak and my stomach was churning and when my life felt like it was just falling apart. I have a God who has been there with me in the middle of financial difficulties, and despite wondering how things were going to turn out, he has been faithful to me. And I have a God who, in the midst of all the struggles and problems within my family or within this nation, he continues to work and weave his plan into the midst of this mess. This is my God. What an opportunity for us to relate this and what our God has done. It's about him, and it's about his graciousness. It's about him who has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. And then Joshua continues, after relaying what God has done for him and for the people, he continues and he says this, Joshua chapter 24, verse 14. Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and faithfulness. Put away the gods that your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. Think about all the different gods that the people would encounter. Abraham was pulled out of the land of Ur, and in that place there was a moon god. People were worshiping the created rather than the creator. Put away those gods. He speaks about the other different gods. In Egypt, after being there for hundreds of years, I can't imagine but them seeing images of these gods, and maybe some of them were beginning to follow them. Gods such as Ra, the sun god, Osiris and Horus, or Apis, a calf idol. Sound familiar? The golden calf. The gods of the Canaanites included Baal, whom we heard about recently. Baal, the god of fertility and rain, and then the goddess Ashtoreth, a goddess of sexuality and fertility. But what have these gods done for you, people? These gods that are created, made up, they haven't done anything for you, unlike the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who is the God of the living. I like what Gregory, a professor at a college, says about these gods, these so-called gods. It must have been a terrifying and tempting thing to the peoples of antiquity when they saw the impressive temples of the pagan gods, the loud music, the professional priesthoods, and the claims that such blood sacrifices and exotic fertility rites could make people's lives better. However, the images of Baal, Ashtaroth, and Molech are today viewed primarily by bored school children in museums. That is the result of these gods. And all these different gods over the years, they've been popular for a while, and then they just sort of disappear. But the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob continues to be the true God. The truth is, though, there are other types of gods that are in our world today. Most people, if you talk to them in America, are not worshiping Baal. If you come across someone, let me know. I'd be interested to talk with them. Most people are not following Baal or these other types of gods, but we do know that there are false gods that people are following, and we can be tempted by this as well. The Luther, in his Small Catechism, speaks about the first commandment, which says, "You shall have no other gods." Well, what does this mean? We should fear, love, and trust in God above all things. But what is a god? Well, he points out in the Large Catechism, he says, what does it mean to have a god? Or what is God? Answer, a god means that from which we are to expect all good and to which we are to take refuge in all distress, so that to have a god is nothing else than to trust and believe in him from the whole heart. So he continues and he says, that now I say, upon which you set your heart and put your trust is properly God. So what is it that we are tempted to put our trust in? Oh, many things. And it may happen in a subtle way, but that means that a god might be a new car. A god might be what's in your bank account. A god might be what you have in your investment portfolio. A god might be your beauty or your popularity or something else in which you are putting your focus and your trust. But how is that working for you? At the end of the day, beauty is fleeting, popularity is fleeting, and yes, the bank account can also be fleeting. Fill in the blank with anything other than the true God, and you are set up for failure. If Joshua were here today, on behalf of God, he'd say, put away those gods. Put away those gods. How have they done for you? They're worthless. Unlike the true God who is there for you, even when you don't have anything in your bank account, even when you're tied up with tubes all over your face in the hospital, even when everything is taken from you, you still have your God who is risen from the dead. Joshua says in verse 15, and if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your father served in the region beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That's what's on your bulletin today. That is the picture. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Notice what Joshua is doing. He's leading by example. He says, look, at the end of the day, you're going to do what you're going to do, but for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He didn't say, well, if most of you serve the Lord, I'll go along with you and serve the Lord too. No, he says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So a question for you and for me, are you individually, you and your family, are you ready and willing to serve the Lord? You see, what can happen is we can grow up in the church, and our parents can go to church, and we just kind of go to church because that's what our parents did. But are we going to continue because that's what God has called us to do? How often are we frustrated by the situation of confirmation class for our youth? And we have youth who are going to confirmation class often because that's what their parents did and that's what the tradition their parents had for them. And then they get through and then their parents, who really have not always been very faithful, they stop coming to church, and guess who also stops coming to church? The confirmands as well. And how about, and I know of this situation, my dad's a pastor and I've heard many different things in ministry over the years, and I've heard situations where there's a wonderful lady who's going to church, and she meets this guy, and they want to get married, and so she wants the guy to go to church with her, and so she says, let's go to church. And so the guy says, oh, okay, all right, I'll go to church. And they go for a while, and he comes for a while, but once they're married, all of a sudden, he doesn't come to church anymore. Why? Because he was only going to church to please the girl. not because he was there to serve the Lord. And this happens, and it's unfortunate. And so I thank the Lord for those that are going to church, that are following their God, not because they're riding the coattails of their parents, not because they're trying to please someone else in their life, but because God, by His Spirit, has given them the conviction that says, no, I will serve the Lord. I will serve the Lord. And I think there's an important thing for us as we are members of families. And maybe you're a household of one, and that's okay, because you have people, friends, who you can influence as well. Whatever size your household is, I believe it creates a powerful example and an opportunity for those in our life as the Lord leads us to serve Him. We were talking in Bible study just this morning about the power of example. You can tell your children, don't do that, do this. But if you're doing the exact opposite, at the end of the day, what do you think they're going to do? You know, the whole phrase, do as I say, but not what I do. Doesn't work very well, does it? I remember seeing a painting by Norman Rockwell. Remember Norman Rockwell of the Saturday Evening Post? He had a wonderful illustration, poignant though, from May 16th, 1959 on the Saturday Evening Post. And on the front cover are a couple of kids, and they're dressed up in their Sunday clothes, and they're getting ready to go to church. Mom is there in the middle, and she's dressed up in her Sunday outfit. The little boy is tagging along behind in his Sunday outfit. But there in the center of the picture in front is the husband, who's sitting there in his bathrobe, smoking his cigar and reading the papers, with papers strewn out all in front of him. And the little boy, the other family members, their eyes are straight ahead as they're headed out the door. But the little boy's head is turned towards Daddy and watching Daddy and his example. That's unfortunately what can happen, is you have a family whose leaders are not devoted to the Lord. And what do you think is going to happen to the children? But I thank the Lord for the positive examples that we see. I thank the Lord for how God's Spirit is at work in you and those around you and in my family. I know my grandfather. He worked for Henry Ford for a while. He was not an educated person according to book knowledge. But this man was a man of God who would make sure that his family got to church, even if they didn't feel like it. It's time to go to church. And Grandma, I remember visiting her when she was already getting older, and we'd go to Michigan and go visit her, and she'd be there in a rocking chair, and she'd pull out the portals of prayer, like the ones we got out there in the lobby. She'd pull out her portals of prayer, and we together as a family would have devotion time together. And I know this was an influence upon my father, who saw the example of his parents and who went into ministry. And now I thank the Lord for the example of my parents. And so we can rejoice in the families and in the ways in which God is influencing people to be able to say those words. As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. And this can be a difficult thing in the world that we live in, with all the distractions, all the things that could take the place of serving the Lord. This is a difficult thing when increasingly Christianity may prove to be less and less popular. But are you going to go with the flow of society? Or by the grace of God, are you going to say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord? And what an opportunity then we have to train and instruct those in our circles, whatever size your family is, or influencing your friends. Luther, he put together the small catechism. Remember why? It was because when he did his visitations into the area, the region, he found out, first of all, the pastors didn't know much about the Word of God. That's a problem. Secondly, though, the people, the families didn't know about God's Word. So he created the small catechism so that families, not just the pastor teaching confirmation class, but the families could train their children in the ways of the Lord. Is that happening in your households? Are you gathering around God's Word and in prayer together? What an opportunity for you and your family to be devoted and to, to come together, to be encouraged, and to receive from God the promises in His Word. Again, relating what He has done for you and your family. So in view of this, we have the opportunity to serve the Lord. And you might ask, well, what does that look like? Does that mean I need to go sign up to go to Africa and be a missionary? Well, no, not necessarily. Some are called to do foreign missions. God bless all who do so. But you are called to serve where God has placed you. To serve within your vocation. To serve in the workplace where you are. What might that look like in the workplace? Well, it would mean that as the Holy Spirit is at work in you, that you would be a man or woman of integrity. That you would serve the Lord in your work. As Colossians 3:23 says, whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men. And as people see that integrity, as you have opportunities to build relationships with people, there are opportunities to name the name of Jesus. Maybe you're not in the workplace. Maybe you're in the home. Well, what a blessing it is for you to be able to clean crayon off the wall for your kids. What a blessing it is to be able to change diapers. What a blessing it is to be able to feed your children, make sure they stay alive another day. Don't underestimate the importance of what you are doing if you are serving the Lord with children. For you have an opportunity to model Jesus to them. Thank you for what you are doing. And maybe you don't have a family right now. Maybe you're not in the workplace. But you, I know, those of you that are retired often are more busy than those that are working. And there are many opportunities in your travels to connect with people, to show love to people, in your bridge groups, when you go to baseball games, to be one who is there to encourage. And one who is there to say, hey, you know what? You're going through a difficult time. I will pray for you. What can I pray for you about? Wherever God has placed you, you have the privilege and opportunity to serve the Lord. And this is in view of what your God has done for you. Remember your Savior who has served you. And remember the grace that God has given to you. Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. It's a verse that is very familiar, but it's beautiful. For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith, this not of yourselves, not by works, so that no one may boast. For you are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God has prepared in advance for you to do. It is in view of your Savior and what He has done. Remember what Joshua did. He related all that God had done. It's in view of this that we say, yes, of course, I want to serve my Lord. It would make no sense to serve the false gods over here. They've been worthless. But my God has been faithful. He has continued to provide for me. Of course I want to serve Him. And my friends, that is the Holy Spirit at work in you, that desire. And at the end of the day, as Peter would say, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. So will you serve the Lord? By the grace of God, may we say with Joshua, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard, guide, and keep your hearts and minds in the one true faith until life everlasting. Amen.